This podcast is sponsored by Marching Arts Education, found at marchingartseducation.com.
The whole part of coming in, preparing, getting ready. So those are little things that get you set. But really, we tell them consciously, when you go open that door, leave everything the best you can outside. It's going to be there when you leave. And there's nothing you can do about any of it anyways. Right now, you're here. So the student comes in, they go through their part, they get themselves set, they get themselves ready. Then their first goal and their first challenge is to get the student just as present.
This is your host, Tim Hinton, and those words are from Tom Curtin, the owner and founder of the Martial Arts Center for Health. I've been a student there for 3 years, and I've been impressed with the teaching and the way that Tom has taught his instructors to teach. Tom may be teaching martial arts instead of the marching arts, but teaching is teaching, and what he has to say about how to work with students will resonate with all of us. One of the topics is how to get students to prepare for the lesson and learn to focus, leaving the world outside. In martial arts, we accomplish this with breathing.
The breath is so important. It's the first thing you do when you come into this world. It's the last thing you do when you leave, and it's one of the least things that we're ever educated on. It's so very important. And so when the students start to do the deep breathing and they start to get that blood flowing and they start to get that oxygen in and they start to, you know, release those toxins as they exhale, their body just naturally starts to feel better.
Teaching focus, teaching patience, building self-esteem, trusting the process, creating a great lesson, all of these topics and much more with Tom Curtin on the Marching Roundtable.
This podcast is sponsored by Marching Arts Education, found at marchingartseducation.com. Take your group to the next level. Marchingartseducation.com is a resource where you can find helpful information and learn the skills you need to be more successful. Top experts in the activity like Matt Harloff, Scott Chandler, Michael Klesch, Paul and Sandy Rennick, Greg Lagola, Carol Abahatab, Tim Newburn, Rosie Queen, and many more present live webinars, videos, and coursework. Marching Arts Education is also the home of ColorGuard EDU, the first online educational platform created by ColorGuard educators for ColorGuard educators. Be one of the first to sign up on the site and you'll receive a lifetime discount at the website and an exclusive limited edition t-shirt. Find all of this at marchingartseducation.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Marching Roundtable podcast. This is Tim Hinton. Thank you so much for listening. So honored to talk today to Tom Curtin. Tom, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Tim.
Yeah, thanks so much for stopping your day to talk with us today. Tom is the owner and founder of the Martial Arts Center for Health here in Orlando, Florida, actually Altamont Springs, Florida. And anybody can find their website and find out about it at martialartscenterforhealth.com. So, Tom, I've been a student at the center for about 2 years now, and I've had a fantastic experience. And so I'm so happy to get to talk to you and share some of your expertise with our listeners.
Yes, and my God, that last guy that you knocked out, we're still fighting that lawsuit. So. but I'm glad to be here with you. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, we deal with health, but I do want to congratulate you on reaching your fifth section. And for those that don't know what that means, is that Tim is two steps away from reaching a black belt, and that is no easy feat, especially in our system, which does not deal with competing and knocking each other down, but actually lifting each other up. And it's a very challenging thing. Most people don't stick with things more than, you know, 3 months or 6 months once they, you know, finish high school or college or whatever they're doing. So I just want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. I've been doing it a couple of years, and it's funny you talk about knocking someone out or hitting, because when I came in originally to work on rehabbing my shoulder, Dr. Laura Rample, who's so wonderful, sent me to you guys.
She sure is.
And I was like very skeptical, because I was like, well, I'm not one of these guys that wants to hit anybody or fight anybody. I was very skeptical about that. But as soon as I got in and was talking to, of course, Instructor Matt and learning about what you guys were doing, then I realized very quickly, oh, that's not what this is about at all. It's about a whole lot more. And I immediately
knew that I was in a place that I really loved. So thank you for what you're providing there for myself and my partner, Lee, and all the other students.
Oh, yeah. We love having Lee there, too. It's well, for me, it had more to do with not me walking in there and knocking somebody out. I had more of a fear of going in there and being knocked out. You know, I started, my little background on me is I started in, well, in the late 80s, I had a back injury, was laid up for a year. And that made me really appreciate what it was like to be kind of stuck in the body, you know, like of a 90-year-old. But yet my mind was that of like a 25-year-old. I mean, literally had to crawl to the bathroom, wow, urinate on myself. I mean, it was very, you know, wow, it was a very bad situation. And so after that, I used to walk in with a limp. And that's what led me to realize that not only how, you know, my body suffered, but how all of a sudden my body started to affect my mind. You know, at first it was a party. Hey, it was no big deal. You know, the doctor says you're going to be off work for about 2 to 3 weeks. It's a big party going on. Then after that, it's not getting better. Then they're talking about surgery and all these other things. And then when that starts happening, you know, you're like, where do I go from here? And I did not want to get a surgery, especially back in that time. They weren't as advanced as they are now with back surgeries and things like that. And so I had to spend like 3 to 6 months with myself laying there on the floor and found out that I really wasn't that good a company. So through the process, I started to really, you know, have to take a look at things I wanted to change, get set on that. I started then reading and studying all about the back and then rebuilding myself. And, you know, the only method I knew was through the gym. And I tried that, but then I would get injured again. And then I thought about martial arts, but I always thought, you know, I'm going to go in there. Some guy's going to come flying out, you know, thinking he's Bruce Lee. And I'm going to go flying back. And then I'm going to be, you know, laid up for another 6 months or a year. And the whole process really to get to where I was just able to walk or sit in a movie theater for a couple hours and watch a movie was at least a solid year. And so when I signed up and got started with it for the health benefits, I started realizing, wow, I can use this as a way for, you know, develop my body. But it was really my confidence that really got knocked back. You know, all of a sudden, my confidence in myself and my body, my ability to do things, and you start questioning everything, you know, because you're just laid there and you're in pain and right. You're everything you got to do. You're never comfortable. There's shooting sciatic pain. What happened was I was in the gym and I was lifting too much weight for my body type at the time. And as I bent over and lifted, I heard a sound.
Wow.
And then that created a tremendous pain down the left side of my body. And it damaged my sciatic nerve severely. So that's how it all started. So, but then when I got into this place and I started working out there. First, I could only do, you know, 5 minutes of it, then 10 minutes of it, and then have to leave and then go back. And all these, you know, I had this big ego trip going on because, you know, there's guys in there doing things that were twice my age that I couldn't do even before my back injury. And so all of a sudden I was like, forget this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'll just, you know, go find something else to do. And then, you know, luckily I woke up the next morning and realized that I need to be in a place where people that are twice my age are doing things that I couldn't even do before my back injury. And I've always played a lot of sports, always been athletic and what have you. So it was a very humbling experience. And then then I started to become an assistant instructor and then I started working with people and fell in love with the fact of watching these people start to transform as they would come in. And, you know, they'd start to feel better about themselves. They'd start to care a little bit more about their body, or they didn't, you know, seem to carry, you know, such an attitude. Some people seem to, you know, just seem happier. Made a decision to go ahead and pursue this. And it wasn't about the martial art part about it, that it was about the healing part, because I really believe that when somebody starts feeling good about themselves, in their mind, in their body, in their life, then all those walls of fear and all the negativity and all the other things that were either laid on us or we came in here with, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's time for them to go. And then when that starts to go away, then really what's inside us starts to come out. And that's beautiful. That's when your spirit starts to come out. That's when your confidence comes out. That's when, you know, your whatever it is you're meant to do here, you know, is you have so many people that are, you know, writers and people in band and band leaders and, you know, and they're given such an opportunity, especially as teachers, as I remind the students, you know, we're the ones that have the opportunity. It's not the student. You know, if there's no student, there's no teacher. So the teacher gets to earn by first learning. And then as they share that and pass it to others, they get to earn. They get to earn on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, even on a physical level. Because as they're working with these individuals and they become better, then the individual helping them automatically becomes better, even if that's not your motive.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when we're working with people, it's then that's what, you know, drove me to decide to open up the center. And, you know, that was in 1992. And we've been going since then.
Right, which is an amazing record right there to keep that kind of business going. It's a wonderful place. You know, all these things you're describing about what you see in the students and their self, you know, their self-esteem and their the way they feel about themselves and what they find out they can accomplish. That's, of course, things that we see as teachers, no matter what you're teaching. Certainly those of us in the marching activity see that in our students. You know, if they'll take the initiative, as you said, to stick to it and be a part of something, we see that self-esteem and growth and, you know, what they're capable of grow. Mm-hmm. And as an educator, as you're saying, that's just hugely rewarding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's rewarding and it's challenging. Like I say to the instructors, it's going to be the most rewarding thing you do, but it's also going to be the most challenging because you're dealing with so many different unknowns, you know, so many different personalities, so many different life experiences. You know, you may be dealing with a kid that is, you know, seems like he's got this attitude or he's arrogant or he's this. And the reality might be that at home, he's not getting the love he needs. He's not getting the attention he needs. He's not getting, you know, he's not being built up in any way. So that's going to always come out in some other form. And then it may come out towards, you know, the teacher or maybe towards one of the instructors. Somebody may say something. And as teachers, we have to be able to take that and not react to it and step back and see, where's that coming from? You know, is this person really just disrespectful, or, you know, are they hurting? Have they never had anybody that cared as much as you, meaning you, Tim, or as you work with these people, as you've worked with them and you care about them,
right?
You know, and they're not used to that.
Yeah. I remember learning when I was a young teacher, you know, if the student that came in and they were just being horrible, and then you find out that, well, okay, so their dad beat them that morning or something horrible happened at home. And you start to realize that you have to look at the bigger picture and understand the whole context. You can't just assume the behavior. Like you said, it could mean a lot of things.
Yeah. And so then that's when communication comes in. So we have to be very observant. Observe the individual. How are they? Because, you know, especially in martial arts, we're very cautious as far as when people come to sign up. If somebody wants to come in and they want to be, you know, cage fight, or they want to be overly aggressive, I say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, but we're not the place for you. You know, well, this is what we do, but there's a lot of great places out there that can teach you this or can teach you that. And then we explain what it is we do. And if the person, then if it's a good match, then we enroll them and then we start to work towards that. So it's the same thing with these kids. Sometimes the kids they're not even, you know, they've never even been asked sometimes, maybe, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to make a commitment? Do you want to really be better? Or are you just kind of going through the motions? Or, you know, what is it that you want out of it? And then I can match towards that. So I can have a student that can come in and say, well, I just want to learn how to become more flexible. Well, that student, I'm not going to sit there and show them how to use two swords at the same time. I'm not even going to focus on any of that. And even though learning how to use a sword isn't about fighting, it's about having that mental concentration to be able to control the tip of that blade through your arm and the energy factors and a lot of other things behind there. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans to that individual. They just want flexibility. So it's about finding out what they want from it and then helping them get that. So now he starts to get flexibility, and then now that starts to build the trust. And if they start to have flexibility now, maybe they meet, you know, maybe they have the ability to have, you know, they could start working on their coordination, their agility, their timing, but they don't want to work on those things because they don't want to feel funny moving around. Maybe just let me work on my stretching. So I see with, like, even if working with, you know, because I've used to teach a lot of kids over the years too, and I would do that. I would find out, you know, what is it that interests you about this? And they may say, well, oh, I just want, you know, a lot of kids would always be like, I want to be able to defend myself. Okay, well, you can show them some self-defense and this and that. But if their bodies can't move, if they don't have the coordination, they don't have the mind-body connection, and of course, if they don't have the right temperament and the right judgment, they can misuse that. But at first, you show them some self-defense. So you're giving them what they want, okay? But it's very basic stuff. But you're working closely with them, and then you're showing them the forms. And then the forms, how they start to open up the body and how they can release those channels and joints and increase that circulation, and they start to breathe correctly. All of a sudden, all that fear and anger that they wanted that self-defense for, they start to see that, wow, I'm enjoying this part of it. And I don't need so much to worry just about the self-defense. And what's very ironic is that the actual ability to move better with the forms and the movements and the flow and the coordination and the agility, timing, the balance, the determination, the discipline actually makes their self-defense many times stronger.
Yeah, it's so interesting how, and all of these things you're saying, of course, I can sit here and translate into, mm-hmm. you know, my activity and what we do. And, but the same things apply mm-hmm. as far as how the student grows, how they, how this manifests, you know, what they can get out of it, the process. You know, I've been thinking about you do such a wonderful job of teaching your instructors how to teach. And you've already mentioned a lot of those things there, but I wanted to ask you a couple specific ones. Mm-hmm. One is the thing I'm very impressed about, and a lot of these things, it took me a long time to figure out. I was in the course and I'd be in a class and I'd be thinking, I don't know how they're doing this. You know, like as an educator, this is a situation I've never been in before, how they're running this class. So one of the things that I really appreciate that I think would be applicable to everyone in the marching arts too, is how much you talk about being focused and being present. And I'm very impressed and with the idea that most every class begins with finding out where you are, doing some breathing, getting present. Do you want to talk about that concept? Because that's not something that we always do. Sometimes everybody shows up at the end of school and you just start rehearsal. And I'm thinking, you know, there's something very powerful about stopping and saying, okay, let me get ready to spend this hour really well. You want mm-hmm. to talk about that a little bit? Because that getting of the focus with the breathing is very powerful.
Yeah. Well, it's like I explained to the instructors that you have your first goal is to help that student get out of their day, their past or their future, and get into this moment. And we can succeed if they feel like all that's happened through their day, it's like just in that 1 hour. That's all there. We just need to get them in there for that hour. And it's not an easy thing to do, because what will happen is the student will come driving up and then they start going through, you know, because as you know, we have 80% of the student bodies adults, and then and 20% kids. And mainly because we teach the kids, like I said, we want kids that want to be better human beings. We don't teach just the fighting part or any of that. It's the, you know. So what I'm getting at, I guess, is to kind of in a roundabout way, even the kids, it's important to help them become very present, because they could have just been bullied that day. They could have even maybe been the one bullying somebody. They could have, like you said, had a bad experience that morning. So the adults, it's the same thing. They're driving there and they're thinking to themselves, well, let's see, do I go in and sweat and really push myself and challenge myself and really try to grow and develop, or do I go home and watch a rerun and order a pizza? You know, I mean, I've been there as a student, and many a times I chose to go home and order the pizza, so I know what it's like. And, you know, then I started seeing the value. So it starts with the instructor being present. more so than even the student. So the instructors, when they first come in, that's what they do is they just like we tell the students, leave everything outside, come on in, they get in their uniform. Getting in the uniform is a process of even changing a mindset.
Yes.
We have a different feeling when we're in a bathing suit compared to when we're in a tuxedo. We have a different feeling by, you know, the whole part of coming in, preparing, getting ready. So those are little things that get you set. But really, we tell them consciously, when you go open that door, leave everything the best you can outside. It's going to be there when you leave. And there's nothing you can do about any of it anyways. Right now, you're here. So the student comes in, they go through their part, they get themselves set, they get themselves ready. Then their first goal and their first challenge is to get the student just as present. So how do we do that? Well, the student comes walking in, they walk through the door, first thing, oh, I had a terrible day. Oh, 436 was all jammed up. This happened, that happened. Or the kid's mad because the mother took the, you know, game away for the weekend because they were, you know, they didn't clean their room. And so you just have to, okay, you have to understand that we don't know what they've experienced, so we want to stay detached from jumping and reacting. And then kind of say, okay, well, you're here now. You're here now. Let's just focus on just what's going on here. Go ahead, get changed. I'll meet you in the practice room. So they go through that part, but we know they're still thinking about it. Then what we do is we get them sit down and we start the deep breathing. And the deep breathing is very important for a couple of reasons. One, for the physical part of the lesson, so many times people start working out and doing things and they don't start by warming the body up from the inside. So when you're sitting down and you're doing the breathing and you're controlling the breath and you're relaxing with it, you're telling your body, get ready, we're going to start to move. We're going to start to, you know, you're helping the blood to get pumped through the body. But psychologically, you're telling yourself, I'm here now. I'm going to get ready. But yet still that pops in. Oh, what the boss said at work still ticks me off. Or, you know, oh, this happened and that happened. But, you know, the instructor's got them going through the deep breathing and we do the bellow breathing. The reason why that is you take a deep breath in and you let your abdomen expand. That lowers the diaphragm muscle, allowing more oxygen to get deeper into the lungs. That's a very important part because when we're oxygenated, we feel energized and we feel strong. We feel, you know, we can do whatever. And you watch when somebody's crying or if they're having an anxiety attack, they're breathing very shallow from the top of the lung chambers. So they're not able to, the body starts to go into more of a feeling of being constricted. And when that happens, the body starts happening. When the body starts to feel that, so does the mind.
Hmm.
Once that starts happening, all of a sudden then comes in the fear and the doubts. Oh, am I playing the right notes? Can I remember the music? Can I this? Can I that?
Right.
Whatever it is. Or can I remember this sequence of the movements? You know, if they're practicing in the martial arts.
Right.
So what we want to do is we start by the deep breathing. So now the part of more of their attention is focused now is the oxygen, the life force. I mean, the breath is so important. It's the first thing you do when you come into this world. It's the last thing you do when you leave. And it's one of the least things that we're ever educated on.
Yeah.
It's so very important. And so when the students start to do the deep breathing and they start to get that blood flowing and they start to get that oxygen in and they start to, you know, release those toxins as they exhale, their body just naturally starts to feel better. And then all of a sudden they start to get more focused on, hey, I'm right here now because my instructor is saying, breathe in and then breathe out, breathe in and then breathe out. And he's watching me. He's paying attention to me. He's not ignoring me like I'm just one other person in a, you know, group of 50 people. He cares about me. And that's what the instructors do. They walk around, they help straight, make sure your back is straight while you're sitting there, but you're comfortable. You know, if somebody's got tight hips or something, there's things you can sit on or you can sit in a chair. But want that back to be straight so that chest opens up, so that energy flows up and down the spine, so those organs can naturally go back to the places where they're supposed to be. You know, they've been sitting there all day going through school. They're stressed out. The way they sit, they put pressure on the different organs. So when they get into that deep breathing and they let that energy come in and everything knows where it needs to go and it starts to go to those places and you get the blood cells get oxygenated, the brain starts to, you know, get active, but also the nervous system starts to calm down.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, when you say warming up from the inside out, I think that's going to be foreign to some people. What exactly? I mean, you've sort of described the process very well.
Sure.
But when you say warming up from the inside out, what exactly does that mean? Because I think most of the time we think about warming up, okay, let me start moving my muscles as opposed to my breathing.
Right. Okay. Well, the thing is that a lot of the times we don't think about we only see what our eyes see, which is an interesting concept, seeing that our eyes can't even see themselves without looking into a mirror or a reflection.
Hmm.
But so we only see the external body. We don't see the heart. We don't see the liver, the kidneys, the lungs. We don't see the endocrine system, the nervous system. We don't see all these things. So we don't think there's a need for any attention to be put by them until we go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh my God, you have high blood pressure. You better take this, or oh my God, you've got diabetes, or your blood sugar starting to, then all of a sudden we start to, well, what's diabetes? Well, it has to do with, you know, glucose levels, and it has to do with your pancreas, and oh my God, what can happen from high blood pressure? Well, it can lead to a stroke. Now all of a sudden there's a level of importance, right?
Yeah.
To taking care of those specific organs. So what we try to educate the students to is that, you know, you've got these organs inside your body, you've got a circulatory system, and it survives most importantly through the breath. Then food, then water. But the breath is the most important thing that you can't go without. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, you don't see the air. So I tell them, okay, close your mouth, pinch your nose, and then hold that for 5 minutes. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, now I see the importance of the breath. So then you don't have to be an expert in the anatomy just to even explain to the kids. You've got these things going on inside your body. You've got your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, just even the five basic or main organs. And when we're going to do this deep breathing, what we're going to do is we're going to pump blood, oxygenated blood into throughout the body before we just start moving. So that's going to help physically warming the body up, meaning that the blood's going to get to the limbs. We don't have to get up and start running. As a matter of fact, a lot of times people get up and they start moving too quickly. That's when they pull something. That's when they hurt something.
Sure.
So, you know, that's kind of what I mean by warming up.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so there's like many, many benefits to starting that way. Obviously, warming up from the inside out. I like that. Getting focused. Concentrating on your breathing. And, and I think everybody would understand clearly that if you take a few minutes and you get focused and you get present and you get ready, then when you do start in, you're going to be much, much more productive, you know? And so the whole concept of that process is very powerful, I think. And I think that anybody could use that with any kind of group they're standing in front of.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And you know what? When I started 23 years ago, when I was just even training, but when I opened up 23 years ago, people thought like, you know, chi and deep breathing and, you know, you had to be in some foreign religion or whatever. You know, it's so far off. Like I said, watch every baby. The first thing they do, they're breathing. Yeah. They're breathing when they're in the womb. And then when someone's ready, their time is up and then they exhale. And so when we get to see that it's just part of being a human being, let's learn more about it and see the real benefits behind it. The same thing between, you know, what people are understanding with nutrition, you know, eating McDonald's every day compared to, you know, eating organic or, you know, and then a McDonald's or whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? It's the breathing. Now, also what happens with the breathing part, Tim, is that the person starts to become more settled down.
Yes.
They start to become more settled down. Their breathing becomes deeper. They start to relax. And what that means then is now whatever's been on their mind can kind of move along.
Well, because, and we all know that if we're going to be practicing any skill or working on any sort of skill, we have to be calmed down, ready, prepared, mentally prepared. You can't just run in somewhere and start. So it all makes perfect sense, I think, to anyone listening, but I don't think we always do it.
No, we don't. And the other thing is, you know, and I, the other part about it too, is it switches us into a different type of mode, which I think is very beneficial. And that is to be in the receptive mode. Maybe all day I've had stress and I've had to watch out. This guy's, you know, wanting to take my job, or this bully's bothered me, or this, you know, I want to ask this girl out and I don't have the confidence. I want to ask this guy out, but I don't have the confidence. You know, it's all, we don't know what's going on there. But once they start that deep breathing, and once they start to become present, and once they start to become receptive. Now they're receptive to the instruction. They're receptive to hearing what the teacher's saying. Now they start applying what the teacher is telling them. As they start applying it, they become with that determination, because they made their commitment. They want to be good at this. Now with determination, they start to work on it. As they work on it, then all of a sudden they get little glimmers of they're improving. Once they start improving, that's how we start to develop the quality of patience. Oh, I can ease up here now.
But I love what you're saying. And the other thing, you know, that I'm struck by the conversation we're having is that so many times anyone that's working with a group of young people today laments how they don't seem to have the ability to keep their attention, the short attention span, always distracted, you know, looking at their devices, whatever.
Yes.
And so what you're describing is also, you know, we have to teach people how to become receptive, how to learn how to focus and pay attention. And this is a great process of, I mean, I love this. You put on a new outfit, you walk into a space, you take the time to get centered and ready and receptive to learn and do something for yourself. That's something that anybody could use when they're working with any group of students.
Absolutely.
We continue this conversation on the next podcast, where Tom talks about making sure each lesson is challenging, interesting, and enjoyable. We also talk about the power of demonstration, modeling for your students, showing what is possible, plus a reminder to always be encouraging and build their self-esteem.
Every person that walks in that door, I want you to treat them as if they were your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, someone that you love and care about. Because you're dealing with a human being, and a lot of the times, especially children and adults, but they're very fragile because of all that's going on. And again, then we got to ask ourselves, wait a second, am I here to help lift that child up, or is that child here to lift me up?
Don't miss the rest of our conversation with Tom Curtin on the next podcast. You can contact Tom or find out more about him at his website at martialartscenterforhealth.com. Find podcasts about other topics that interest you in our podcast archives at our website at marchingroundtable.com. You can search there by category or simply put a word in the search bar. Join the discussion on our Facebook page. Just search for Marching Roundtable on Facebook and look for us on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, and send us feedback at our website or ideas for other podcast topics or guests. This is your host, Tim Hinton. I invite you to hear my show arrangements and compositions for marching band at timhinton.com. We hope you'll join us for the second half of this conversation with Tom Curtin. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Marching Arts Education, found at marchingartseducation.com. Live webinars, instructional videos, and coursework from experts in the activity, and the home of ColorGuard EDU, marchingartseducation.com.